You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
I think you'd agree that my Washington Nationals visor was the right choice today. 11-0 in the fifth. Wasn't even thinking about... Was I? Wasn't even thinking about the fact that they were playing the Yankees at all. Just sort of a random choice. Did a podcast, black shirt. I mean, there's a lot. There's thought that goes into it, but it's usually not very good thought. It's just kind of wasted thought. Had a podcast this morning. Went with the green screen. I have a green screen, aren't I fancy? Really don't know exactly how best to use it. Put a picture of a sunset that I took behind it. That was going to be my backdrop. All very glitchy. Anyway, it was mostly like an orange backdrop. Didn't want... why did I even start here? The Nationals are down 11-0 in the fifth inning to the Yankees, and we may or may not keep you posted on that one. I just heard that Awaken 180 spot that I recorded just now, and I remember doing it. I can tell that that's the one that I did when my mouth was numb. Because I'm just a little bit slower. Like the Novocaine was, I can hear it. You know, that's sort of like how the sound of your own voice maybe sounds weird to you, but everybody else is like, why would that be weird? But it's always like that way to yourself. Now I've gone into this. Sal coming up at 3:30, Steve Palazzolo today. That'll be cool. I want to talk to Brian Koziol too about the Ryder Cup team. That's an interesting one with Keegan Bradley, the captain of the team. I mean, everybody thinks playing well enough to deserve to be on the team, but he's the captain and he doesn't choose himself. And I think that that is an interesting conversation. So Jordan Poyer is back. This is obviously something I'll bring up with Sal. It's very much like when Trey White happened. And there have been others of these, right? Micah Hyde, was that even last year, where the Bills dip into their past for security. And it's easy to pick on them for that, right? Like 32 teams, all these options. Why do you have to go back into your own Rolodex? Has the show ever sounded older? Your own Rolodex for depth? I don't know. I think it makes sense. And they're not going to do it if they think Poyer is like useless physically, athletically. They've got to have some faith that he can play, you know, on a what? Maybe like on a replacement level. It would be And the tiebreaker is that they know him and respect what he knows and what he can impart on younger players. So I guess it's okay. The other side of that coin, though, is Poyer and Trey White. I mean, Trey White was signed, and it was possible that he would start week one, and it still is. He would, for sure, if he weren't hurt, and we don't know exactly where that stands. I'll get into that in a minute. But the other side of the coin is like, well, on one hand, it's sort of logical, right? You've had good players that they know you know them. There's a safety in that, no pun intended, with Poyer. And so, okay. But if it weren't for, I think I want to say if it just weren't for Josh Allen, it would be these kind of things are the kind of things that sort of make you nervous, right? Like, what kind of shape am I in at corner if I'm going into my past for Trey White? What kind of shape am I really in at safety if I'm doing this? What kind of shape am I in at wide receiver if I'm signing the, I don't know, 5 to 10 guys in the last 2 years the Bills have signed just sort of on the come, like sort of hoping that maybe you find something there and that really hasn't happened yet, unless I want to include Hollins. I mean, Hollins, I think you'd have to say worked out, but not like that there was much of a ceiling. So Allen, and you know, you don't have to look at it this way, but I think he makes it really hard in a objective way to get nervous for them. You know, he is your pill that you take if you have like a particular form of anxiety and sort of to calm you down. And Allen does that. Like, I want to really kind of investigate these kinds of moves, like Poyer. I mean, Poyer is just the practice squad, so like Micah Hyde was, who knows if it even means anything. But, you know, you've got a veteran leader type, even maybe a quasi-coach back in the fold, and that can be good on its own merits. But if not for Allen, I'd want to sort of probe this and be like, well, and you still can. It just, for me, only goes so far. Okay, well, how desperate are the times if I'm making these choices, these signings? But I can't, it goes both ways. Like, if the Bills, when the Bills make a big move that everybody would consider positive, you know, the betting lines don't move. And if it were a quarterback, they would. But Joey Bosa, or even maybe Von Miller, I don't know for sure that there was no change to what their expectation or the outside expectations were in terms of the, you know, the betting markets. But I doubt that there was. I don't think there's anything they can do. That's what I kind of came up with yesterday when thinking about the cuts and the roster. Like, nothing here is probably going to mean a lot, if anything. So, I mean, it's a little bit depressing. But if not for Allen, you might really wonder what this is going to look like. Bishop, Trey White, Hairston hurt. Maybe White is even hurt. What Brandon Bean said today leaves that up in the air, as far as we know out here, I would say. You know, Sal will have his own interpretation of the press conference, but rehabbing. So he's not fine. It wasn't something that was, you know, he didn't say like it was a scare or anything like that. He's not fine. And we're at the point on the calendar now where injuries can be secrets. Like, a month ago, the Bills would have had, you know, if it's a possible like a 2-week injury or something like that, they might just tell you that. They could be more, you know, open about it. But now we're close enough to the opener, what, 11 days to the Bills opener, 8 to the season opener in the league, Dallas, Philadelphia, cannot wait, that they have reason to play it coy. And maybe that's what they're doing. I think you could have listened to Bean today and thought, you know, that was sort of a good report on White. I really didn't think that exactly, because, you know, rehabbing and he's trying, you know, these kinds of things. What really matters the most probably is that he wasn't put on IR, right? So we know that he doesn't have to miss 4 games. So that's good, I guess. Sal coming up at 3:30. If you want to get in on something on your mind Bills-wise, I'm here for it. We've obviously been in a lot of places over the long offseason. But whether it's like this point for me is interesting on how, like when I say I can only go so far really scrutinizing these kinds of decisions, cut decisions or additions like Poyer today, I just don't, I don't think I can really build an argument that it's going to be that important to what happens. I know that that's kind of sacrilege in football because everything is described as important, but it's got to be relative. So I can't bring, I don't want to either bring myself to a point where I feel like what is happening there is going to really hurt them. But you know, it could. And if it does, then what? Like if they cannot be trusted, if the Bills' secondary as the season gets going cannot be trusted and Baltimore carves them up, then you go into week two and that's the Jets. And if the Jets, who are not expected to be good offensively, kind of are, we will be asking those questions. Will the Bills lose these games? I mean, they go Jets, Dolphins, Saints, Patriots at home, Atlanta, Carolina after the Ravens. If Cole Bishop is mid and Trey White is even, you know, back healthy but not at his all-pro form, which I think is to be expected, what's my record, you know? I guess you can say, and this is right, that the point of this regular season is about finishing first in the conference. That is what the Bills have yet to accomplish. That is what might be the thing that gets them to the Super Bowl. One fewer game in the playoffs, home field, that of course is the easiest path. Kansas City got away with a very challenging season by getting to that one anyway. All those close wins, I mean, it drove us crazy. But that afforded them the bye and then the Texans. And then, you know, they had to win the one game over the Bills, which they again did. So huge, huge advantage. Fantasy football, so it's coming up on Labor Day weekend. You might have drafts in and around tonight. This weekend I've got, you know, shocking, I've got one tonight. And it's a way of, fantasy is a way to frame, you don't need fantasy for this, but it's a way to frame the big question again this year about the Bills offense, which is who, after Allen, of course, excluding Allen, like who is the man if there's going to be one on their offense? And I thought I would share some of my observations and some of the data I've got on how fantasy players are answering that question about the Bills offense. I went on with Pete Overzet this morning on his best ball stream, and I'm always, when I do that, identified as like being tight with the Bills. Like I'm not as tight as they might, as Pete might think, but just sort of, that's the team we talk about every day. So people in the chat are like, what's going to happen? And I had this last year too, and I made fun of myself for it because every time I would go on a fantasy stream, they would ask me this. And I was just absolutely punching blind. You know, I mean, the obvious, you have Coleman as a rookie, you have Kincaid in year two, you have Shakir, who's pretty good, but how high is the ceiling? I don't know, Mac Hollins, we had Chase Claypool last year, we had MVS last year, and as I'm filling that out, I mean, the hosts are like, cut his mic. This is ridiculous. How is Marquez Valdez-Scantling going to be the ticket from the Bills receiving core to a fantasy championship? And of course he was not. I mean, he might have had two catches or something and he was released. Obviously we know that wasn't the case, but nobody really was. There turned out to be no right answer. Shakir was fine. Shakir was a wide receiver three or four even on a good fantasy team that may or may not have even started for you. He wasn't somebody that you like a guy like that in fantasy. You like a guy that gives you sort of the higher floor. He was safe, but you don't really get touchdowns. You didn't, maybe that changes. You didn't really get touchdowns or like really big weeks from Khalil Shakir. I mean, what's the most logical, predictable outcome for him this year, assuming he's healthy, which I kind of am by week one, is the same kind of year where, I mean, does he explode for I just don't see much higher upside. He can't. Touchdowns are random. I mean, he could end up breaking a couple more tackles or being a target on a play from like the 12-yard line or something, and then you see that number. What did he even have? Maybe four? Was it even four? Like, see a number like that double. That can happen without any real change in philosophy. So that if that happens, that's good for you if you have him in fantasy. But his draft position is 83.6 on Underdog. So that is the end of the seventh round. Now, in home leagues, if you're drafting with your friends, that probably will be higher, as in earlier. You know, especially if it's Bills fans. Shakir, we like him. Interesting that Keon Coleman, again, using all these are Underdog best ball rankings from a long offseason of drafts. Everything is, you know, up to date. Coleman is pick 88, which is only four picks, 4.4, technically, picks later than Shakir. Shakir is wide receiver 45 in the league in drafts, and Coleman is wide receiver 47. And I think they give you, this is a little, I'll be a little bit fantasy technical here, just quickly. I think they give you an opposite profile for this. If you're looking for stats, and Shakir gives you that safer, like I just described, that safer, you know, what's a regular game for Shakir? Like 5 for 70 or something like that? You know, that kind of a 12 PPR points a week. Whereas Coleman will have, you know, maybe a little bit stereotypical here, but Coleman should have bigger games and he should have smaller ones. I wonder just how bent they're going to be on getting Coleman to a place where, like, everybody is, nobody wants to question the pick anymore. They should want that for their offense anyway, but, you know, selfishly, the Bills would want that for themselves. I mean, especially the GM, for whatever part he has and how this plays out. He would want that for himself and with Kincaid. So Coleman is the guy that gives you, I think, the bigger, the spike weeks, you know, whereas Shakir probably doesn't, but they go at around the same time in drafts. Josh Allen is pick 28, so that's pick 4 in the third round, and that's fine. That's really, and Lamar Jackson is right next to him. Jaden Daniels is close too. That's really a question of how you want to build your team, but you wouldn't want to pick Allen any earlier than the mid-second round because that's a little nuts. Early third, though, it's fine. Cook is the most interesting one to talk about, and we've done a lot of that with our many guests over the course of the summer. 39.8 for Cook, which is early fourth. And that is kind of the fantasy community sort of yawning at the season he just had. Yeah, lucky. Because, I mean, come on. 16 rushing touchdowns for a guy that doesn't even play half the snaps. You'd want to know that he's going to play a lot more. And that's what we don't know yet. And I'm not really expecting that. I don't think the contract dictates that. I wouldn't assume anything when it comes to that. But if you got pretty close even, if you got 1,000 yards again from Cook and half the touchdowns, you know, assuming a full season played, early fourth round in fantasy is fine. I mean, that's not going to hurt you. You might even take that. You want to get a little bit more than you get out of Cook as a receiver than what's been happening. And I don't know what to expect there. Like, he hasn't been that great at it. And the offense was so successful anyway last year. I just kind of lean toward they're not going to be anything significantly different, like philosophically. Cook had 32 catches in 16 games for 258 yards. So, I mean, 2 for 16 is the average per week. Shakir would be 5 for 54, by the way. I was guessing at him, was a little generous when it came to Shakir. So Cook early fourth. We did Shakir. We did Coleman. Then you have three more Bills guys I'll include here that go almost exactly at the same time in drafts, but three different positions. Kincaid, Palmer and Ray Davis. And that's just, you know, what do you need? Kincaid is pick 131. So round 13, is that? End of the 10th, a little higher. End of the 10th would be 120. 11th round, late 11th round. And then early 12th for Palmer at 136. And just after Palmer is Davis at 138. Curious to know what the fan attitude is about Ray Davis this year. We spent so much time on Cook because of the contract stuff. And also because he had like a historic season for them, just what will happen next. He got his money and everything seems fine now. Will he play more like I just brought up? That remains to be seen. I'm not assuming he will. But, you know, Davis is somebody who, when he was needed on a team that, because of, you know, as proven by what Cook did, and with Allen and his prowess as a runner, is just almost like as much as good as you can hope for if you are a running back. The line was good, and nobody ever got hurt. You know, you had consistently doable, you know, games where the running backs could get off last year. And in the one game that Cook missed, Davis did that. I mean, that was a game against the Jets. He had one big play that might have been on a reception, but still, he was well over 100 total yards in that game. You know, I think, like I said a lot last year about Cook, I think Cook is fine. I think Davis is fine too as a backup. Selfishly, just for curiosity's sake, as a talk show host, as a fantasy player, I was hoping the Bills would draft one of the sexier prospects even on day three at that position. That did not happen. They didn't touch it. And so they go into the season with the same three guys, Cook, Davis, and Ty Johnson. I didn't look up Ty Johnson. But we're just starting, really. We should be able to do that if you want. So just for some perspective on, you know, it's not, it's only fantasy football, I'll say it that way. But just like where does the market see our guys? And, you know, Shakir and Coleman are back-end wide receiver fours, going by 12s for 12-team fantasy leagues. You know, guys that would be fourth or fifth receivers on normal teams. And then Kincaid just outside of the top 12 is tight end 13. Palmer at wide receiver 60, last of the wide receiver fives then is Palmer. One of our semi-regular guests, Mike Dempsey, was on maybe a month ago and said that Palmer was his most drafted player, which I thought was wild because I just do not see the volume there. I mean, he's cheaper than Coleman. You want from Palmer, in that case, we kind of want to almost expect from Coleman. Like what I was laying out before, which is, you know, the occasional big game, but probably not, I would say this about Palmer, if not also Coleman, probably not someone you can trust in your lineup every week if you're managing your teams. So there you go. Sal's coming up. Brandon Bean spoke today. The Bills are practicing now. We'll get Sal's thoughts on the practice squad put together, the Poyer return, Trey White, and more. As I mentioned, Steve Palazzolo will be on at 4. That's exciting. Longtime PFF analyst. Check the mic with Sam Monson. I think Steve is probably somebody that you can ask, that I can ask about Poyer or Cole Bishop for some sort of analysis. It's not a fantasy show, Steve's. Really, it's probably my favorite football podcast that is not a fantasy podcast, is Steve and Sam. So that'll be at 4. Brian Koziol, as I mentioned as well, talk about the Ryder Cup selections a little bit in the 5 o'clock hour. Thanks for joining me. Sal Capaccio next. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey. Hey, 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 hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. I shouldn't ever do this, spring something on our guests, but Sal likes his trivia. Sal Capaccio on the Wester hotline. I'm enjoying Sal reading through the weekly NBC press release that we get, the Sunday Night Football. Yeah. It's the 20th year of the Sunday Night Football package on NBC.
Mm-hmm.
And might you have a guess for where the Bills rank all time on this particular, I'll say again, package since 2006 with Michaels and Madden, the Sunday nights. They're not all on Sunday nights, but those NBC broadcasts. Where might the Bills rank in the league since 2006 on that show in winning percentage?
Winning percentage, not number of appearances. Okay. They ran a Sunday night flex game against New England. They lost. That was the first one they've been on in a long time. And then they've had a lot of success after that. There was a Pittsburgh game. There's the LA Rams game out there. Just a lot of success. Man, I think the Bills would be top five, because I think they only have like one maybe loss I can think of. So I'm going to say third.
Number one.
All right.
9-3.
I was afraid to say one. I think I can only remember one loss, and that was the New England game.
The game in Cincinnati. Two years ago, and then the Ravens last year.
Okay. Oh, yeah, Sunday Night Ravens. Yeah, that's right. Jeez. I can remember the old ones, but not the new ones, I guess.
9-3 is the best record by winning percentage in the NFL on NBC Sunday Night Football. It would include the Rams game on the Thursday, and I think maybe the Chargers Peacock game would be included there. I'm not. There's one more that's not on a Sunday that I'd have to look up. Also, just quickly on this, I'm seeing the all-time record for viewers for one of these games was a Dallas-Washington game in 2012. Might have been Week 17, like for the division or something like that. 30.3 million. Last year's season opener, Baltimore, Kansas City, was second. And last year's season finale, Minnesota, Detroit, that Week 18 game for the NFC North, was third. I might give, I'm not a student on these numbers and it's too smaller market, Sal, but I might give Ravens Bills a shot at breaking that record.
Ooh, that's going to be a really well-watched game. You have a, you know, obviously the last two MVPs of the league, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, were both very, very popular and I guess polarizing in a lot of ways for both of them. And it's obviously a rematch of last year's AFC divisional game. And it's also a game that's going to go a long way, or should at least, in the AFC. So I agree with you right there. And then it's, of course, week one, and people are juiced up for football.
That's right. And we know it's coming. It's a week and a half. One sign today, Sal, was Brandon Bean, when talking about Trey White and his status for the opener, was being, you know, not completely forthcoming, probably. I don't want to say he was hiding anything exactly. I don't mean that. But just, you know, we're hoping that he'll be ready. We don't know yet. Rehabbing toward the opener. We're at that point on the calendar where we're going to start to have to just wonder what guys' status is for upcoming games.
He even went so far as to mention that next Wednesday, knowing that offhand, is the first day they kind of have to reveal something.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Which is the first day of the injury report coming out. And honestly, it is true. So starting now, they don't have to reveal anything as far as injuries are concerned. They didn't really have to through training camp, but there was always a courtesy what happened. But now we're in the regular season, and the only time they have to is once next week's injury report starts, which is next Wednesday. We'll get a limited or did not participate or full participate with an injury designation, and that's when we will know about Tre'Davious White. So, yeah, they're keeping things very close to the vest. And, yeah, I mean, I think some of that has to be a little bit of gamesmanship, which is you do not want, you know, your opponent to know what the situation is, what the status is. And some of it is just because they don't like to talk about injuries. And, you know, that's something that they always kind of keep a little bit closer, like I said. So I think that everything is kind of happening all at once with that.
Trey White, by the way, even was on the Ravens last year in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right. So they're familiar with him. We'll see what it is. Did you have any particular instinct from Bean today? We know he wasn't put, White wasn't put on IR. So they're not expecting him to miss a long time. That's, I think, obvious. But
yep,
he's not fine either, Sal. Like he said, he's rehabbing, so it's not like this is nothing.
Well, a few things. He said he didn't put him on IR. That's, we know that. So we know he's not out. We know they're giving a chance within the first 4 weeks. I think that would at least say that. He even said it's not a season-ending injury. He's rehabbing. He said Wednesday, we'll see next week if he can practice or not. But he did. He was asked specifically, so you're not ruling him out week one? He said, I am not ruling out him out week one. He specifically said, I am not ruling him out week one.
Why do that, right? I mean, no, unless you know it's bad. if it's bad enough, they only have the two spots I want to recognize. And, you know, maybe they could have a player that they think could miss significant time, but wouldn't have a way to, I think what you do, sorry to get in the weeds, but what you do with Grabel, the lineman, is you just put him on IR or waived or something like that, and White would take precedence, I think. So doubt it's anything long-term, but it doesn't sound like he's going to be 100%.
It sounds like that, but we'll see. I'm out at practice right now, and because the team is still on the field right now, I can't give an update on anything as far as player participation, but if people pay attention to my X feed at Sal Sports after practice, I'll have that as far as who's here, who's not, who's working, who's in a red jersey, things like that. There's certain rules we have to follow when we can actually release that. Mm-hmm. But that'll be when we leave the practice field at some point here in the next, probably within this phone call, to be quite honest with you, because they started out here at 3 and we only get to watch a certain portion now. It is the regular season rules. We do not get to watch the entire practice.
Mm-hmm. Sal, the roster cuts were yesterday. Today was for waiver claims around the league. The Bills apparently made none. And also, none of their players that they cut was claimed by another team. Is that interesting?
It is interesting. I mean, from a standpoint of, oh, you're always wondering, like, are they going to grab somebody? Or is somebody grabbing somebody from their team? And first of all, we don't know if they put any waiver claims in. Let's remember the Bills have the 30th pick in the waiver claim order. So
right,
even if there was a player they wanted, 29 other teams get a shot at that player every single time. It does not reset. You don't jump to the front of the line after the first pick or the second pick. It's literally Tennessee gets the first pick, they go again. They get first pick again. They grab like five guys, right? Four guys, five guys, something like that. So you get down to 30, even if the Bills put in a waiver claim, you know, it wouldn't matter. They would probably not get the guy. That being said, I always want to remind everybody, and I know that like it's a cool thing, and I love it. I love it too. I love watching it and seeing the movement and who's going where and did anybody claim anybody. But the God's honest truth, Mike, is teams like their guys more than they like other guys generally. They draft a guy, they develop a guy, they have a guy in their program. He's been there with their coaches, with their teammates, with their training staff for, you know, the last whatever months. And when it comes time to release them, you'd rather have that guy come back to you than go out there and get another guy that you don't know as much about. You have to onboard him into your system, into your team meetings. And even if you like the guy's talent more, that's a huge consideration why they wouldn't choose that guy over the guy they already had on their team.
Yeah, that's all reasonable. And plus, not only do the worst teams by last year's record get as many picks as they want, like you mentioned in terms of Tennessee, but they also need the most help. So,
that's right.
You know, how might a GM do it? You sort of have a list of a number of guys on your roster that you might think can be, that are replaceable, you know, everything you just said being said, then okay, but still, right. You might have somebody that you liked in the draft process a lot and have been hoping maybe would come free. That's the move you make. But thank you for pointing out that the Bills, we don't know that they didn't claim anybody. They just were not successful.
Correct. And I do want to make a point. Brandon Bean was asked today a really good question by Thad Brown. And Thad asked him, okay, so when you get down to, you have 70 guys on the roster when you count all the practice squad guys. You've got 53, then you got 17 with an international guy. When you're talking about players 68, 69, and 70, how do you parse, hey, we got a young guy that we've drafted. It's going to take some time. We like him. We like having him here versus, you know, we got an older guy. We got a veteran. He might not even help us this year, but, man, we like having him in the building. He can really help mentor. He can kind of sit in meetings, and guys can really lean on him and learn from him. You know, that's Jordan Poyer now. That's Jordan Phillips. And I really liked Brandon answering that and saying that's absolutely a part of the discussion. Like, you have to think about that. You can say to yourself, I really like this young guy we drafted. We want to keep him here. And but he's a project, and it's going to take a little while. Or you can say, you know what? It's better for our team to have an older guy here who might not even play that much for us, but man, we love having him here. And that's 68, 69, 70. Those guys, the bottom end of the roster, are the guys at the bottom end of the roster. Most of them are not going to see the field this year.
Let's talk about Poyer, Sal. This one out of left field?
Totally. I have to admit, Mike, people had asked me a couple times about him, and I basically dismissed it any single time it happened. I basically would say, I just did not see it happening. I didn't see it coming. So we kind of dismissed it any time it was brought up to me. But, yeah, as soon as it percolated and we heard that Jordan Poyer was signed, I was pretty surprised. And, you know, Brandon Bean talked about it today and said, you know, why that was and what he brought to the table. And I was surprised to learn they've been talking since May, him and Jordan Poyer and Jordan Phillips, actually, both the Jordans. I will tell you, I completely was stunned. And anytime someone brought it up to me, I basically dismissed it and I was wrong.
What do you think of the merits here? I mean, I think that there are obvious reasons that you could use to show how you understand the decision. It's the practice squad, his experience with the Bills, leadership, all that kind of maybe obvious stuff. He did. I mean, how did it end for him here, Sal? Like the Bills, for all the success they had together, he got to a point where they just were not interested anymore, and he went to Miami for very little money. So is it possible to think that the Bills have sort of a vision here where that, like, Poyer has something meaningful left to give on the field? Or is it really mostly just the background stuff that teams, you know, appreciate from veteran players?
I think it's mostly the background stuff. I'm not going to sit here and tell you there's no, you know, thought that he could ever play for the team. And, you know, when Micah Hyde came back last year, it was pretty much, yeah, I'm not playing, right? Like, I think everybody kind of knew Micah wasn't going to play. That was just kind of either spoken or unspoken. Didn't matter. We all kind of realized that. He came back later in the year. In this case, Jordan's here now, so maybe that does happen. But it's really the what he brings to help out in that safety room. And when people hear, and I know I get it a lot, and I understand, well, isn't that what coaches are for? Why do you need a coach on the field? Why do you need an older player? And Brandon Bean spoke about it today. It's not just on the field. It's how you conduct yourselves in meetings, watching film, understanding something. You see something that maybe another person wouldn't because you're a veteran. You've been in this league. You're watching film and saying, hey, you know what? We played this team once. They did this. You can help that guy prepare a little bit. So, yeah, that's the stuff that they like from him. How did it end? Not great. He lost a step when he was here a couple years ago, and I thought he even lost even more last year playing for the Miami Dolphins. That was pretty evident watching him on the field. And that's a big reason why I was stunned. I just didn't think it was something they would do, but I get it from all the background stuff we just talked about. But as a player, it didn't end great. You know, they went through a bit of a contract thing 1 year. They gave him a 2-year deal, and then they wound up basically, you know, reducing that and, well, getting rid of him, or I should say, you know, releasing him after 1 year.
And this is really just a teeing one up for you, Sal, but I mean, I'm assuming you and maybe everybody would corroborate the idea of Poyer's value, you know, in the locker room and the experience and all that. I mean, it's not something we ever did deep dives on, just like sort of how these guys lead and what they're like in the room or anything like that. But I feel like it's probably a given. And that now they've made the move to even say this further, but it's probably a given that Poyer was, you know, excellent in that role.
Yeah, listen, I would say it this way, Mike. I don't know because I'm not in the room, obviously. But I think that the Buffalo Bills would never bring a player in like Jordan Poyer or Jordan Phillips if they didn't feel he was excellent in that regard. Like, I think they're so cognizant of that, you know, how much they have to be a part of the culture and the organization and the locker room and everything that goes along with it. I would never expect Brandon Bean or Sean McDermott to sign a player that they didn't have like full confidence in, that guy does everything we ask and does everything right. It is so important to them. You know that about their locker room and what it means to them. And we've heard them talk about that. So that's why whenever people like will talk about those guys and coming in and what they bring, like to me, it's not a question because I know they wouldn't bring him here if they had a question.
Right. Do you happen to know, by the way, if the salaries on the practice squad are figured out by like experience? I know the range is from about 250, whoever it is that's at SpotTrac, I forget now, the number one highest paid player on the practice squad was just under 400. Would Poyer be somebody that would make more than that because of the career he's had, or is there a certain like structure that has to be followed?
So yeah, I don't know the exact number, but I believe that is the case because you are only allowed a certain amount of veterans on the practice squad, and those veterans will make a little bit more by being on the practice squad than a rookie or a first-year player, because there are certain rules about how many guys who have a certain number of years experience you can even have. So I do believe, I just don't know the numbers, that the more years you have, obviously you would get paid a little bit more.
Okay. Did you have your draft last night?
Tonight is my first
tonight.
Fantasy draft of the year.
Since and February 6th.
Everybody's wondering. I asked, I say draft is 12 teams. I actually won the toilet bowl last year, as we call it, because I didn't make the playoffs and I won that bracket. And in our league, we reward that winner with their draft selection the following year. So a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago, I asked you, what would you choose? And we went through it, and I ultimately chose 8th. And lots of people in my league are wondering, why the heck would you choose 8th? That doesn't seem right. And I like it, though, because I went through it with you, and we talked about it. We texted each other. And there's a certain group of guys that I know I'm going to get 2 of in that spot, and I like that.
And this is a keeper league, right? So not everybody's available?
No. It is a keeper league with, like, one guy. And usually it's not guys taking high, except in this year's draft, I do think Brian Thomas Jr. is being kept. That's one that's off the board. There might be another one I can't think of right now, because the way we do it is you get to keep one guy that you drafted in the 8th round or later the year before, which is a pretty cool thing. That kind of rewards you for taking a flyer on somebody who works out.
Hoping that these players happen to both be available for you, would you rather have Shakir or Coleman?
Coleman.
Easily?
I think that Coleman, to me, is going to have a jump. Even if he doesn't approach Shakir's targets and catches, I think that the touchdowns would outweigh that. I think he's a bigger play guy that would overvault him. And I just think the ceiling could be higher. I would rather take – I'm usually a guy that goes the other way, to be honest with you, Mike. I'm usually a guy that takes more of the safe, like, floor and say, I'm good with this guy. But I think Coleman's situation, I'd regret passing on him if he had a big year, and he could.
Yeah, you're playing for upside, and I respect that.
Yeah.
That's what you want to do. I wish there were another close one for the Bills. Like, Palmer, I laid this out earlier – based on their average draft position, like Shakir is about 84 on Underdog. Coleman is 88, so they work together for the question. Palmer is 136. He's actually close to Kincaid, Palmer, but, you know, different position. Still, like, could you talk yourself into Palmer? I think I could.
Sure, I could talk myself into it. I will tell you, though, Keon Coleman is kept in our league because there is a it is a Florida league, but there's a guy in our league who's a big Bills fan, and he took Keon Coleman as his keeper for this year, and so he's going to be rewarded with that. We'll see where it goes. So he's actually off the board in our league.
I mean, that's probably not great for his roster.
Maybe not, but you don't – it doesn't count as anything. It doesn't count as, like, a certain pick. You just get him.
No, right. Just, you know, so, you know, a fan.
A freebie. I get Caleb Williams. I took Caleb Williams last year in, like, a ninth or tenth round and stashed him all year, and we'll see where it goes now.
You have him still?
Yeah, that's my keeper this year.
Is he going to start for you, you think?
Good question, Mike. I was going through that. If there is a high-level quarterback in the third or fourth round that I can't pass on, I'll take him. But otherwise, I think I'll roll with him.
All right. Good luck. Can't wait to hear about it. I really mean that.
I appreciate that. Thanks,
all right,
buddy.
Thanks, Sal. Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. Caleb Williams is fringe. So, you know, think of Sal as Brandon Bean. Or the friend of his in Florida as Brandon Bean with Coleman. I like using Sal here. So he kept Caleb Williams. I mean, don't you have to play him? See, if your fantasy team was under scrutiny, we had, you know, silly talk shows like this one who would analyze your decisions. Well, how can you keep Caleb Williams and not start him? Like, what kind of roster management is that? But, you know, Sal gave the right answer, a business answer. If I can get somebody better, I'll do it. I don't have to. This is what, you know, Bean would say. Something like that. Always try to make our...
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Team better, but we like the player. That's why we kept him. That's why we did all this. That works. Here's Eric with us. Hi, Eric.
Oh, hey, Mike. How's it going today?
Okay, good.
I just want to kind of roll through it quick. And, yeah, I just want to talk about the 53-man roster. And I don't know. I just kind of wanted to say that looking over it, it doesn't look really any more talented than a lot of the drought team rosters that we've had over the years. Obviously, Josh Allen is amazing and incredible and, you know, lifts all boats, right? I kind of wanted to just say that I feel like their focus towards defense and running the ball seems like an attitude of a team that expects more to be like an underdog by 9 points every week. I feel like they should build towards putting the best offenses of all time to shame. Like, they should look at Josh Allen's Bills and then Kurt Warner's greatest show on turf. So, I don't know. I just wonder what it's going to take for them to kind of look at building it the other way, if it's, you know, 4 or 5 more, you know, losses in rounds or different staff or whatever it is. I just kind of want to know what you thought about it, and I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I'm always crushing on that kind of thought too, but what you have to ask yourself, you know, first is winning 11 to 13 games and at least one playoff game every year successful enough to justify thinking that your philosophy is pretty okay? Or does it need to become more about losing those playoff games that you've lost as proof that it's not? And then after you tackle that brain buster, then it's, well, what can I really do about it? If you're asking what would have to happen for them to change, and they've shifted. I mean, they've become this running team that they were last year, but they didn't start this 5-year run of dominance in the division that way. I mean, quite not, but that's what they've sort of shifted into. So they haven't been stoic, but would it, like you said, would they need to lose 4 or 5 more playoff games before leaning into a more, well, the greatest show on turf kind of team? I don't know. I think it's more option A, which is the success that they've had justifies their philosophies about this. And I've had it stuffed in my face here, like last year with them, and we all have, that those of us that obsess about their receiver quality, it's like, well, just like Brandon Bean called in to say that one Monday morning, how did we do? And you can clap back with, you lost in the end. You lost in a game where you scored 29 points and against Spagnuolo's Chiefs on the road. I think that's a tough one. So I wanted to be a little easier to make the wide receiver, you know, case, but it's not as easy as I would want it to be, just for argument's sake, because they've been as successful as they've been. That's their defense, and it's a very good one. Thanks for the call, Eric. Steve Palazzolo next. I'm Mike Shope. This is WGR.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping, whatever you shave. Welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.